I believe you would agree with me when I say we truly have been blessed by our God. We've been blessed this morning to have another opportunity to worship our God, and I pray that every opportunity we have to worship God, that we never take this privilege as something that is wearisome, because it is the greatest privilege known to mankind. And we see in God's holy word in Psalm 95 verse 6 where God is inviting His creation to come and to worship Him, when He says, "Oh, come and let us bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." You see, we've been blessed this morning with another opportunity to seek the Lord and to call upon Him while He is near, according to Isaiah 55, verse number 6. We are blessed this morning to be a part of the family of God. For the Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God." You see, we are blessed because we are a part of God's family. And when you think about God's family, when you think about the church, in Scripture we see the church being spoken of in a universal way. We are part of the kingdom of God in that broad sense, according to Colossians 1, verse number 13. But we see that the family of God is spoken of in Scripture in a specific sense, or we might say in a local sense. The congregation at Corinth, the congregation at Galatia, and so forth. Today we would say perhaps the congregation there at Southwest, or the congregation at Dripping Springs or Johnson City, the congregation here at Lake Country. Again, the Bible speaks of the church in that universal sense, but also in that specific sense. All of these things that we just mentioned make us happy. They bring a smile to our face. And I believe Psalm 144 verse 15 really sums up our thoughts when the psalmist says, "Happy are the people whose Lord is God." We ought to be the happiest people on this earth because we belong to God. But this morning I want to emphasize the family of God. I want to emphasize the family that gathers here at Lake Country. We are fortunate to be a part of a great family. And we are fortunate to have so many young people that are a part of this congregation. I want that to sink in for just a few minutes, because as we think about the congregation that gathers here, we are so blessed because of all of our young people. And I want to show you this in Scripture, perhaps in a little different way. If you would, go back to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. As I was thinking about this lesson, I was thinking about what can I say from God's Word that would get this lesson started. And I've had the privilege to be able to teach the minor prophets several times. And here is a great prophecy. Hear this. Here is a great prophecy about the Lord's church. And this is what makes the Old Testament so valuable, because here in Zechariah chapter 8, Zechariah is foretelling the church, talking about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to begin in Zechariah chapter 8, and we're just going to be mentioning the first five verses. But I want you to see the picture that God gave Zechariah of the church. And that's what we're emphasizing this morning about our young people. In Zechariah 8, beginning at verse 1, again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and would dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. You know, there are so many verses that come to mind from just verse number 3. You see, the church is referred to as spiritual Jerusalem in the New Testament. Spiritual Israel in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. The church was established in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Also, the kingdom of God, the church would be called, verse 3, that city of truth. In 1 Timothy 3, verse number 15, we read about the Lord's church being the house of God, being the pillar and ground of truth. So many New Testament passages that come to mind to show us that what Zechariah is speaking of is the kingdom, the New Testament church. And you see these prophecies throughout the Old Testament. Look at verse number 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Now watch this. There shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for every age. Look at verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Remember what Zechariah is doing. Zechariah is giving us a picture of spiritual Jerusalem. He's giving us a picture of what the church would be like, what the church would be made of. Older women, older men. Speaking about that security and longevity. But also there in verse number 5, the children that would be playing. The happiness that children bring in the kingdom of God. You know, if you have visited surrounding areas, if you've done any traveling, a lot of times when you go to a smaller congregation, part of Zechariah 8 is missing, isn't it? You will attend those congregations, and there's nothing wrong. I love old people. There's nothing wrong with old people. But a lot of times, you'll notice that the smaller congregations are full of older people. There's not younger people within the congregation, and it kind of brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it, when you think about the Lord's church. You see, we are so blessed, and I'll say that again. We are so blessed to have so many young people at this congregation. It brings a joy to your face, because I've seen it with my own eyes when you see the children playing outside, when you see the young people, I'll include you, Chris, playing basketball. It just brings a smile to your face. Friends, that's what we see here in Zechariah chapter 8. We should be thinking more about our young people, praying about our young people, teaching our young people. We are so blessed to have that variety of young people. A few more weeks, we're going to have a newborn. You think about the age from elementary all the way to the college level. It's such a blessing to see so many young people a part of a small congregation. And we ought to thank God every day for the young people of this congregation. And we ought to do everything that we can as the body of Christ to encourage our young people. As you know, in a few weeks, school will be starting for everyone. Thus, the title to our sermon is Back to School. The young people, the college students will be going back to school. Some will be starting school. What a great opportunity. What an exciting thing. But as we think about this idea of going back to school, all of us can learn from this lesson. Because as we think about this idea of going back to school, particularly want to challenge our college students to remember some things that we're going to mention this morning. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Our first point comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Young people, remember your Creator. Again, remember your Creator. And that's what we're encouraged to do here in verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If you go back to chapter 11 and you read through chapter 12, Solomon is informing us about life, and that is, life is short. You're young, then you're old. And as you get older, as you continue to read, one of these days you will pass on from this life. And so God is encouraging us in a very practical way to remember where you came from. Don't ever forget your Creator. Learn to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, and that will help you through life. But that's such a challenge at times. Perhaps, young people, you've already experienced this challenge in high school, but if you've never faced this challenge in high school, you're going to face it in college. You're going to meet professors, teachers, that are going to challenge what the Holy Word of God says about your Creator. The one who created you, the one who created this universe. You remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Because you're going to be challenged. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Remember what the writer of Hebrews says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 3, about God's creation. And you think about God's creation, it really serves as a foundation for your faith in God. You see, in Psalm 19, God's creation is one of those evidences that helps us understand that God is real, that God is true. And here in Hebrews 11, verse number 3, listen to what the writer says. Through faith, underline that. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. You see, God created matter out of nothing. Scientists have a hard time understanding that point. Now, what makes more sense? That this world just was created with a big bang, you know, the big bang theory? Or is it more logical to believe that God created this world? Again, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Write down Psalm 33, verse 9. You see how God created this world. He spoke and it was done. He spake and it stood fast. In other words, God said, let there be light, and there was light. It makes more sense to believe that God created this world. Through faith, again, we understand. And so, young people, you're going to be challenged. You're going to hear people say, there is no God. And to believe in God is a silly thing. Let me remind you, it's not a silly thing. And that's why God, in the Scriptures, reminds young people to remember their Creator. If you would, turn over to Proverbs chapter 1, number 2. Young people, remember your parents. Now, if you're going to college, I know you're excited because you're leaving home. And that is a natural thing, isn't it? I'm leaving mom and dad's house. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. You realize I'm 44 and I can remember that time period in my life when I left home. And you know what my thinking was? It probably wasn't right. But my thinking was this. I'm going to prove my dad wrong. I'm going to show him. But you know, as I wised up, I realized how right he was. But you know, I realized that that is part of life. That is part of maturity. But young people, let me remind you again to remember your parents. Why? Because it's an honorable thing. And you see this here in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning at verse number 8. My son, okay? My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. We know that, Solomon is describing, we might say, godly parents. Parents who brought their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Parents who taught that serving the Lord was the most important thing in life. And here Solomon is speaking to his son. Son, don't ever forget that. And look at the honor that it brings in verse number 9. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The ornament and chains was an honorable thing. A lot of times a king would give an individual a chain. You remember when Pharaoh gave Joseph his ring? Again, it was an honorable thing. And Solomon in verse 9 is using that terminology when children remember their parents. When children have that kind of respect for their parents, when they remember what mom and dad taught them, it's an honorable thing. You see the same thing here in Proverbs chapter 3. My son, beginning at verse 1, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Again, bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. Young people, parents know what they're talking about. I know sometimes you might wonder, well, they just don't understand. They don't know what I'm going through. Parents who are knowledgeable in the Word of God know what they're talking about. The wisdom, the counsel that they have must be heeded. The example that they have lived must be followed. And this is something that God wants young people to recognize and to understand. Let me show you this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Because as your parents get older, you have a greater duty and responsibility to them. But this starts even as a young person. You have to respect them. You have to appreciate them. You have to love them. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning at verse number 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn to first show piety, reverence at home, and listen to it, to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. You honor them, you respect them, requite them means you pay them back. You pay them back. You look at the sacrifices that they've made for you over the years. There may come a time when you need to pay them back. They may need your care. They may need your support. And what God is encouraging children is to be there for their parents. Remember your parents. Look at another passage, if you would. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Remember your parents and remember the name that they have established. Because you see, when you leave home, you can go out and you can make unwise choices. And just one night, just one bad choice can destroy the name that your parents have spent years establishing. You remember Proverbs 22, verse number 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 14 and 15, young people, let me show you what will bring a smile to your parents' face. When you read the context beginning at verse number 14, if we discipline our children, if we train them right, look at what it is said in verse number 15. My son, if, it's conditional, young people. if thine heart be wise. You see, you grow up, you leave the home, you're going to make choices. You're going to have to make decisions. And Solomon says, if you make good decisions, if thy heart be wise, listen to what he says, my heart shall rejoice. Yea, my reins, my deeper inner being, Solomon says, will rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Children, again, remember your Creator. Remember your parents. Number three, young people, remember your church family. As we mentioned from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, we are part of the family of God. And from your church family, you will find a source of encouragement and a storehouse full of wisdom. I want to encourage the church here at Lake Country, as you talk with younger people, whether they're in elementary or high school or going to college, give young people wise counsel from the Word of God. When you have the opportunity to talk to young people, direct them back to the Word of God. That means you need to have some passages in your mind, because you may have that opportunity to counsel with a young person, to encourage them along God's holy way. We need to know the Word of God. We need to point them back to God's Word. Let me give you a few passages that you may want to commit to memory. And I find these passages as a source of encouragement. And as I talk to older people, to younger people, these are passages that always come to the surface. And they will help you in any trial, any temptation, whatever you're going through in this life. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's what young people need to be reminded of by the church. You trust in God. You don't lean upon your own understanding. You acknowledge God in everything that you do, and you can never go wrong giving that kind of counsel. Philippians 4, verse 13. A lot of times young people are discouraged and they need that source of encouragement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or what about Matthew 6, verse number 33? As you go through life, learn to seek the kingdom first and God will take care of you. Matthew 6, verse number 33. But one passage, hallmark passage if you please. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help when you're in trouble. Young people, you leave home. You're going to have to make decisions. You may find yourself making decisions that might not be good. You might find yourself testing the waters. Remember Psalm 46, verse 1. God is there to help you. He is there to pick you up, to keep you on track with your church family encouraging you, with your parents encouraging you, with your Creator encouraging you. Number four, young people, remember there are going to be peaks and valleys as you go through life. As you know, life is full of peaks and valleys. There are good times and then there are hard times. There are challenging times. Some of the challenges, the valleys that our young people face are very unique, especially when you go to college. The temptations, if you please, are probably stronger as you leave the home. And so there's some valleys that I want you to remember. And as you go through the Old Testament, you see a lot of times that the word valley is used in a negative sense. A lot of wars, a lot of bad things happened in the valleys. And you can go through the Scriptures and study those valleys. But remember the valley. Beware of the valley of sexual immorality. As I said, this is a strong temptation for young people. Beware of the valley of sexual immorality, because Solomon says in Proverbs 7 verse 26, he's warning about the immoral woman. And you know what Solomon tells his son about the immoral woman who entices him to lie down with her? Listen to it. Many strong men have fallen because of her. And listen to me. Many strong Christians have fallen because of this temptation. Young people, let me encourage you to keep yourself pure. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Remember your Creator. He is the one that's created you. He is the one that has given you this body, and He didn't create this body for fornication, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. Oh, He's created a beautiful union where you can fulfill those desires in a godly fashion, in a godly way, in marriage. You wait. You keep yourself pure. But I promise you, young people, when you leave home, that temptation will be stronger. And you will see the majority of the crowd doing those things. You stand up. You be strong. You have the courage to keep yourself from that danger. Remember the valley of pure pressure. If you would, go back to Proverbs chapter 1. I was reading this the other day, and I realized that this is the greatest definition on pure pressure. I've heard a lot of people talk about pure pressure, but I've never heard anybody go to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm not boasting. I'm just thankful that I've seen this. And that's the way God's Word is. It's a treasure chest, and that's why we study it. Because the more we study it, the more insight it gives to us. And I like talking about pure pressure because it's something that our young people are challenged with. But I want to approach this concept of pure pressure in a biblical way. And it's found right here in Proverbs chapter 1. Let me begin reading at verse number 10. In verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee..." Notice that pure pressure. If sinners entice thee..." Look at verse 11. "If they say, 'Come with us'..." Listen to that pure pressure. "Let us wait for the blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and a whole as those that go down into a pit. And we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil." Come on, let's do it. Nobody will know. Your parents will never know. It will be fun. Listen to the advice that Solomon says in verse number 14. "Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have all one purse." Listen to it. Verse 15. "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Son, remember what we taught you. And when you feel that pure pressure to follow the multitude, to do what everybody else is doing, don't give in. Turn down the invitation to do evil. Oh, we don't want to turn down every invitation. Some invitations are good, like Matthew 11, 28, where Jesus says, "Come unto me." But from Proverbs chapter 1, there are some invitations that we need to turn down. That we need to say, "No, I'm not going to do that. That's wrong." But I tell you what, it takes that virtue that we read about in 2 Peter 1 verse 5 that we're to add to our faith. Virtue. You know what virtue is? Virtue is moral courage to do what is right no matter what. And when you turn down the invitation to do sin, more than likely you're going to find yourself in the minority, but you don't follow a multitude to do evil. It takes more courage. It takes more manliness. It takes more toughness. It takes more guts to say, "I'm not going to follow a multitude to do evil." Beware of the valley of sexual immorality. Beware of the valley of pure pressure. Beware of the valley of discouragement. And oh, that valley is a valley that we probably pass through throughout life. Young or old, we all go through the valley of discouragement. But we need to remember that it is a valley that we can go through and that we can come out with the strength and help of Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, verse number 13. Young people, remember the valley of loneliness. I know the excitement that you feel getting to leave home. There's nothing wrong with that. But I promise you, that will go away and you're going to remember Mom and Dad. I'm thankful for the technology. You know, you can, I even saw the other day on those phones, you can actually look at each other when, I don't know what that's called, but you can actually see one another when you're talking with one another. What a great thing when you are lonely to be able to see Mom or to be able to see Dad. But most importantly, remember, when you feel alone, you're not alone because your God is there with you. And you see that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5 and 6, when the writer says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." Remember that verse, because if you feel like you're alone, Hebrews 13, verse 6 reminds you that you're not alone. The Lord is there to help you. Young people, number 5, we're almost done. Remember, you're going to be tempted. Temptation is common to man. Temptation never goes away. That's one of the things that we should look forward to about heaven, where there will be no more temptation. But remember, God is not the one that is enticing you to do evil. In Matthew 4, 1 through 4, it's the devil. The devil is the one that is enticing you to take the bait. He is going to tempt you. He is going to do everything that he can to overthrow your faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, you be sober and you be watchful. And then verse 9 says, you resist him. There is that way of escape according to 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 13. There is that Christian armor that we can wear so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil according to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Be sure you clothe yourself with the armor of God. And when you go into battle with the armor of God on, you will be able to resist your enemy. And James 4, 7 and 8 teaches us that the devil, the enemy, don't you love it? Will flee from you. He will tuck his tail and run if we learn to stand, when we learn to fight against him. Young people, you're going to be tempted, but you can overcome temptation. And this is a point that I think we leave out when we talk about temptation, and I don't know why. Young people, listen to me. When you give in to temptation, remember the blood of Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we're afraid to say that, but that's what the Bible teaches. There are going to be times that we sin. That means that we're going to give in to temptation. We need to remember that when we do give in to temptation, we can repent of that sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ will wash that sin away. The blood of Jesus Christ will continue to cleanse us. And we can continue to be in fellowship with God. And then finally, young people, number 6. Remember God's Word. And I know all of these points surface from the Word of God, but remember God's Word. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. The physical food that we eat every day will only take you so far. But the spiritual food that we eat hopefully every day will save your soul, according to James 1, verse 21. Think of God's Word as your life source. We are to walk by faith and not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 7. But in order to walk by faith and not by sight, we have to feed our faith on a daily basis. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, verse number 17. You see, the Word of God is our spiritual food. Be sure you're eating every day spiritually speaking. Think about it like this. Soul work, this is the only time this is true, by the way. Okay, young people, only time this is true. Soul work before homework. Okay? Soul work before homework. You feed your soul every day. You nurture, you feast upon the Word of God, and it will fill you, spiritually speaking. It will fill your faith, it will fill your soul, and it will help you along the way. I love our young people. I'm so encouraged to see so many young people interested in the Word of God. Because when you go out into the world, you're not going to see that picture. And so as we think about the family of God this morning, we need to be grateful for our young people. And young people, we want you to know how much we love you, how much we appreciate you, how much we will be praying for you as you leave here, as you continue to live your life. Again, remember your Creator. Remember your parents. Remember your church family. Remember there are going to be peaks and valleys along the way. Remember you're going to be tempted, but remember the Word of God. The lesson is yours this morning. If we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, won't you come right now as we stand and as we sing?